Shall we again look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege and the blessing granted to us in our life one more time to remember our precious Savior and to celebrate His glory and His Lordship in our life. We thank you again for the time to declare His glory through your word. Thank you for the privilege granted to me to proclaim your glorious word this morning. Pray that it may enlighten our hearts and it may lead us, thou may lead us into all truth, revive us, renew us, and help us to see the wondrous glory of your Son one more time through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. Pray that we may be richly blessed as we go back from this place. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Many years ago, when I ministered in an assembly in Australia on Sunday morning, that was from John's Gospel. I believe it was from John's Gospel, chapter 15. And it was about some of the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am the true vine, you are the branches. And many truths related to that. At the end of this sermon, a very old brother, I think he was from Ireland, he walked up to me and said, he believes that he has a personal conviction, this is not a doctrine, and his personal conviction is that our remembrance and worship meeting is the time in which we focus on our Lord and His glory and His greatness and His majesty. And he said, the ministry that should follow also should be that. So he said, whenever he ministers, that is what he does. And he was very pleased that morning I followed that pattern. That's not a hard and fast rule. As the Lord prompts our hearts and enlightens our minds and gives us His word, we would faithfully declare that. But what that saying, that great man of God, what he suggested and his pattern and his example has been a great blessing to me in my life and ministry. So this morning, that is what I would like to do again. That is again to see the uniqueness and the glory and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially from John's Gospel chapter 5. So we will turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. And before reading from verses 25 to 29, it is good to remember that last Sunday we commemorated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Easter Sunday. Whenever our Lord spoke about His death, He also mentioned about His resurrection. All the time, every time, any time, when the Lord spoke about His death in the Gospels, He also spoke about His resurrection, because that is one package: death, burial, and resurrection. And that is the foundation of our salvation. But it is amazing that He also spoke about the resurrection of every human being. And He spoke about the resurrection of believers. And He also spoke about the spiritual resurrection of sinners who would believe in Him. So, three resurrections. That is the sum and substance in the teaching in this passage which we are going to read. Jesus Christ as Savior and Judge. And three resurrections are mentioned in this passage. The first resurrection is the resurrection of sinners who would listen to Him and who would believe Him as their Savior. And then, number two, the resurrection of
the bodily, physical, literal resurrection of all believers. And number three, the literal, bodily, physical resurrection of all unbelievers. Now, it is very important for us to know that during this season of pandemic, we were all following the scientific data in relation to COVID-19. And, Dr. Fauci always reminds us that don't pay any attention to what people say. Always follow the science. But it is very important, it is very ironic to think that science tells us many things in relation to the sickness and in relation to the treatment, but it doesn't say anything about what to do when people die and what happens to them, because there is no answer in science. That is not the realm of the science. It is all in relation to our life here upon this earth. Think about all the teachers, religious leaders, and gurus, and philosophers. All their ethical, moral, wonderful teachings are all related to our life here upon this earth. But then what happens, they are not sure. But in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very, very different. It is unique. It is uniquely different, marvelously different. He not only spoke about our abundant life, which we can enjoy through faith in him in our life here upon this earth, but what will happen to us after we die? No one else upon the face of this earth has taught like that with that much authority, power, and clarity. So these verses are related to the three resurrections. John's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Most assuredly, as in NKJV, or truly, truly, or verily, verily. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, will be resurrected. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment or condemnation. So in verse 25, spiritual resurrection of all those who will put their trust in him. Then in the following verses, resurrection of life of the just, of the children of God, and also of the resurrection of the unjust, the wicked, to the resurrection of condemnation. Three resurrections. But more than that, the startling thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ made it abundantly clear that these things will happen under his authority, under his supervision, and he will be the judge in all these three resurrections. It will be under his authority, it will be under his control, and he and no one else will be the judge in relation to human destiny. Can you imagine a 30-year-old Jewish young man standing in Judea or in Jerusalem or somewhere in Palestine, naturally dressed as a Jewish man, and saying that all those who will hear, all those who are in the tombs, in the cemetery, all those who are buried, all those who have perished, all those who have lost their life in this world, one day they will hear my voice. That is an amazing statement. You know, some people would say, oh, anybody can say that. No, anybody cannot. There is not a single other person upon the face of the earth who dared to claim that. And people with, wonderful, startling claims of that power, this power, magic, and all kind of supernatural power, none of them could ever claim that in the past, and nobody claims it in the present, and nobody will ever claim it in the future. He again made other comments in the Gospel of John. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Can I tell anyone that in my ministry, if you do not believe what I am saying, or if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins? No, I cannot. Nobody can say that. But Jesus said, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. You know, it is very important for us to know how John has built, how John has compiled this document. Seven I am sayings of Christ. And in those I am sayings, in the Greek text, ego eimi. No, ego eimi. Ego means I am, from which we get the English word I. And when Jesus said ego, it means I am. But he also added eimi. That also means I am. So both of those words means the same. Then why did he say that? Ego eimi. He might have just said ego. That means I am. But he said I am, I am. That means I am and no one else. I myself am. What a tremendous statement. I myself am, no one else. No one else. I myself, I am, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am and no one else. I am, I am. So John selected those seven I am sayings. Then John also selected seven signs, miracles. Jesus did many miracles, but John was very selective because in chapter 20, verse 31, he made a purpose statement about his gospel that I have selected, I have compiled these signs together so that people may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing in him, you may have life eternal. So, seven signs, miracles, seven I am statements. And after each miracle sign, he also made a discourse, a message, gave a sermon explaining the significance of the message. So, great New Testament scholars believe that this was a literary device. You know, seven I am sayings, seven miracles, and the discourses, all put together through a nice literary device to present that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they look Jesus Christ through the lens of history. But John looks Jesus Christ through the lens of deity. That is, through the lens of eternity. He was eternally pre-existent. He is the Son of God. He is deity in human form. He is God in human flesh. Someone has said that the synoptic gospels looked Jesus earth up. First saw him as a man, then built him up, saw his deity. But John looked at Jesus earth, heaven down. He looked at him majestically as the Son of God. And then saw his humanity also. It's an amazing gospel. It was the French great commentator Godet who said that the gospel of the Son of Thunder begins like a thunder. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Quite different, quite unique from all the other gospels. So look at these verses. Verse 25. Most assuredly, that is 25 times John uses this phrase. Amen, amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, 25 times. This doubled expression, he uses truly many more times, but the doubled expression he uses 25 times. When he wanted to emphasize something, and also when he wanted to reveal something new, something of great utmost importance that we should not forget and we should believe. So, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming. Then he said, and now is. So let us not look at that phrase, now is, but let us look at that phrase, hour is coming, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. In the future, all the dead will hear his voice in the future. But he said, now also people will hear the voice of the Son of God. And when people hear that voice now and turn to him in repentance and in faith, they will have spiritual resurrection. That is why he said, you know, the bodily, physical resurrection at the end of the age is coming. An hour is coming. But now is, that is, you don't have to wait for that hour to come, but you can participate in another resurrection right now. Now is. That is why he added that particular phrase, now is. And that is even during his lifetime. And from the day of Pentecost to the day of rapture for the last 2,000 years, that hour continues. It is not a 60-minute 1 hour. It is a long period of time, the period of the church, the period of grace, the period of salvation, the period of the free offer of eternal life. An hour is coming for the final full resurrection, but now is, that is, the opportunity to believe in him. That will, you know, that belief, that faith, that will lead to spiritual resurrection. Because we were all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Ephesians 2:1. We were hostile to God. We were separated from God. Nobody could save him or her. You know, nobody was able to save themselves. And only Jesus is the Savior. You know, when we say we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, that means we are unable to save ourselves. A total depravity, total inability, unless and until the Spirit of God convicts us, and when we turn to God in repentance and faith, nobody can be saved. So that now is the time. So it is good to take a spiritual inventory. Have you heard that voice of the Son of God, that I am the Savior, I am the only Savior, I am the one who loved you and gave himself, myself for you, and if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. The hour is right now. You know, in John's Gospel, the most important word is believe. And John uses that 98 times, and always in the verb form and never in the noun form. These are serious issues in studying the Gospel of John. Never, never once in the noun form. Gospel is dynamic. Belief is dynamic and active and continuing. So that is against our notion that one day I believe, raise my hand, walk down the aisle, that was the end of it. No, that is not John's belief. To John's belief, it is dynamic, it is continuing, it is progressive, it is productive, it is fruitful, and it manifests and demonstrates. That is a dynamic process, you know, and that is a moving process. that gives evidence of life, that gives evidence of growth, that gives evidence of salvation. Sometimes we say, oh, he said, he saved, but we cannot know. No, we can know. Because faith is always active. That is why in the First John's epistle, which here from this pulpit, you know, several times we have heard marks of a Christian, evidence of Christian life. Even though we cannot be the ultimate judge of anyone, there are enough evidences and marks given in the scriptures so that we can be discerning. So 98 times the word believe, always a verb and never a noun, according to John. Dear brothers and sisters, young men and women, children, believe, faith is a relationship, not a religion. It is a trust, it is a confident assurance. When I say I have faith in my wife, I trust her, what does that mean? It means it is an ongoing relationship. It is a growing relationship. It is a growing intimacy. It is a loving intimacy. And it is exactly the same way. Believe in the Gospel of John. Faith is not a religion. It is a relationship. What about you? You have claimed faith. You said you are a believer. You say that you are a believer. But is that faith a growing faith, a dynamic faith, a progressing faith, a continuing faith, a productive faith, a fruitful faith? Is it an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, that is the meaning of belief. So we know that all our children, they learn these words by heart, but as they grow, it is very important for us to explain. What does that mean? That is why many think that they have believed, but they have not actually believed. So as they grow, as they mature, it is good to teach them these precious truths in the Word of God. So the spiritual resurrection, all those who are dead, spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Then verse 26, it is the authority of the Son. As the Father has life in himself, in our Wednesday studies, we looked at this, the God is self-existent. For his life, he is not dependent upon someone else. In theologians call it A-S-E-I-T-Y. The aseity of God. God's life is not dependent upon anyone or anything. Our life is dependent upon many factors, but his life is not dependent upon anyone or anything. God exists from eternity past, always self-existent. If he has a beginning or a cause, then he is not God at all. So, in verse 26, the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. I am equal to the Father. The Father has life in himself. I am also authorized to have life in myself. I am equal to the Father in nature, in name, in essence, in authority and power. That is what he is claiming here. I am equal to the Father. His hearers, the Jewish people, when they heard, they believed in Jehovah, the Father, the eternal I am God. I am equal to your God. I am that God. Equal in power, equal in authority, equal in life, and equal in everything. Verse 27, and has given him authority, the Father has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. See, in verse 25, concerning spiritual resurrection, he said, Son of God. Because only God can give life. Only the Son of God, only deity, only God can give us spiritual resurrection. Son of God. But in relation to judgment, verse 27, he is the Son of Man. to be a perfect judge, you have to be God and man, Son of Man. Son of Man, that title is a messianic title, comes from Daniel 7:13. When the Messiah comes back, he will sit on the throne which the Father gives to him, and he will judge all nations. So then that is the messianic title of authority and judgment. And Son of Man is also his name, title, related to his identification with humanity. So as a man, he knows everyone. He knows the trials and temptations and the struggles and the problems of mankind. But as God, he is omniscient. He knows all the secrets of men. So he is saying that as the Son of Man, God-man, I am the only one qualified to execute judgment. Because God, I know everything. As a man, I can sympathize. I can listen to your case and I can make the right judgment. That is why in relation to judgment, the title Son of Man. And in relation to spiritual resurrection, the title Son of God. Then verse 28, about the two literal bodily physical resurrection that will happen in the future. So first he has come. 2000 years ago he came to give a spiritual resurrection. And even today in our prayer meeting, in our missions, in our ministry, in ELBC projects, that is the burden of our heart, that through our service, through our Zoom meetings, through our preaching and traveling and going to different parts of the world, people may hear the voice of the Son of God, that now is the time for spiritual resurrection. Many may believe and many may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. So all our missional efforts are for the spiritual resurrection of man today. I am committed to that. You are committed to that. We as a body, we are committed to that. The spiritual resurrection. Then 28 and 29. Look at those verses. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. But he did not say, now is. Did you notice that? We have to be careful students of the scriptures. It is very rewarding, you know. In 25, when he said about spiritual resurrection, he said, the hour is coming and now is. But concerning future resurrection and judgment, he did not say now is, because it is not happening now. What is happening now? The only thing happening now is the spiritual resurrection. People are being saved. Believe. People may believe. That is why John wrote the gospel. But in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. That is still future. He did not say now is. No, it is not now. It is in the future. All who are in the graves. All who are in the graves. Billions of people from the time of Adam to the day of judgment. What a statement. All who are in the graves, all those who have died and gone, they will hear his voice. Now at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. But if he has not specifically said Lazarus, you know, everyone would have come forth. That's why he said Lazarus. You come forth. That was only a sign, a miracle. But the time is coming. Billions of people from the time of Adam until the last day of judgment. All those who have lived upon the face of this earth and died will hear his voice. Then what happened? He'll hear his voice, 29, and will come forth. The only exception will be the people who will be directly caught up in the rapture without death when the Lord comes. If the Lord comes now, you know, without the dead state, we will be raptured. Without resurrection, we will be transformed. that he will be the only exception. Otherwise, generally speaking, all those who are in the graves will hear his voice and will be resurrected. Come forth, will be resurrected. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, that is the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of believers. When does that happen? It happens at the rapture. Then it happens at the end of the tribulation. The believers, the martyrs who died during the tribulation time, at the end of the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints being resurrected together, the church age saints resurrected at the rapture. So the resurrection of life, it does not happen at one time, at the same time. It happens at different stages. But what is the common factor? The common factor is they all have put their trust in Jesus Christ. And that is why they are included in the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That is, after the millennium, the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. So this resurrection of the believers and unbelievers are apart at least 1,000 years. Because the resurrection of all the unjust, all the wicked, it happens only at the end of the millennium, the great white throne judgment. Now, this may be puzzling to many, that is, those who have done good. So is our resurrection, is our salvation based on doing good? Not the way we understand. The good thing is, the best thing we can do in our life is to obey the Lord, to receive the Lord. And on the basis of that faith, doing other good things. And the greatest evil thing we can do is to reject the Son of God. And as a result, being completely lost and will be resurrected for judgment. So the resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. In the Bible, all the resurrection and rewards are always tied with works. The works that emanate from, it springs from eternal life, and the evil deeds that come out of evil men from their sinful nature because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the Lord made this announcement, those who have done agatha, excellent things, out of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, like in the book of James. And so excellent things that is acceptable to God. Then he said, faula, evil things, wicked things that come from the wicked nature, from Satan, because you have rejected the offer of salvation. And that will be the resurrection of condemnation. So Jesus Christ taught here about three resurrections, and he's also claiming that he is the Savior and he is the judge. Many of our dear ones, they are not with us. What a glorious thing, what a glorious truth this passage reminds us, that one day when the Lord comes back, they will hear the voice of their Savior, and they will come forth to a resurrection of life. Assuredly, I tell you this, there is no change. They will come forth. We will see them. We will be reunited with them. That is a real hope, a blessed hope, a comforting hope. That separation is painful now, but rejoice, the day is coming. And this will happen under the authority of Christ. But those who have rejected the Savior, those who have said no to him, those who have not believed in him, those who have not accepted him as their savior, they will be eternally condemned without a second chance. You know, the Bible talks about three deaths. The Lord told Adam, the day you will eat this fruit, you will die. Spiritual death. Then our physical death, you know, due to sickness, old age, and the natural death, we die. So spiritual death is dead in sins and in trespasses. And then physical death. Then there is Bible calls second death or eternal death. That is eternal separation from God in Hades, in hell. But you know the good news? The first two deaths are reversible. Have you ever thought about that? The spiritual death is reversible. I was dead until the age of 16 in my sins and in trespasses. But that was, praise God, that was a reversible state, because when I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was spiritually resurrected. I became spiritually alive. My spiritually dead state was reversed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So spiritual death is reversible. What about physical death? When we die, many of our dear ones who have died and gone before us, physically, they die. But that is also reversible, because they will be resurrected when the Lord comes back. But the eternal death of those who have rejected the Savior, that is irreversible. They will be forever in eternal darkness, separated from God. That gives me great excitement when I preach the gospel. You know, the three deaths portrayed in the Bible, two are reversible and one is irreversible. Where are you heading in your life? Which is going to be your destiny? Think about this unique claim that our Lord Jesus Christ will be the executor. He will be the one who will judge this world in righteousness. In closing, let me read Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. You know, Acts 17 is a marvelous chapter. Beginning in verse 16, Paul's apologetic defense for Christianity before the Athenian Stoic and Epicurean philosophers in the capital of Greece, Athens. So, amazing sermon. And towards the end of the sermon, verse 31, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That is how he concluded the sermon. Great philosophical, theological, apologetic defense of the Christian faith before the philosophers in Greece. But he said, you need to repent and turn to Jesus, because Jesus, what about Jesus? God has appointed a day. These are years, millennia of time of salvation and grace. But a day, only a day is appointed for final judgment. And in that day, he will judge the world in righteousness. How? Through a man whom he has appointed for it. That is Jesus Christ. And that appointment was verified, attested by raising him from the dead. the resurrected Jesus Christ, he is the appointed person of God the Father to execute judgment. So we know that in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they have never heard that in Greek philosophy, because the Stoics believed that when you die, your soul will go with the universal soul, that is the Logos. Epicurean said, they believed, let us eat, drink, and be merry, there is no life after death. They only believed in metempsychosis, the transmigration of souls, like in India, reincarnation, no bodily resurrection. So when they heard about resurrection, what did they? Verse 32, some mocked while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. They have never heard that. The Greek word anastasis, they have never heard it. And in verse 18, then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus, it's masculine gender. Anastasis, resurrection is feminine. It's a feminine noun. So, you know what Dr. F. F. Bruce suggests, that they thought that we have so many gods and goddesses. Look at this man. He's preaching, bringing two other new deities to us. Jesus and his consort, resurrection, anastasis. Funny, you know. They thought it's another god, anastasis. They have never heard about it. So they said, it sounds interesting. We are willing to hear more about it. Jesus and the resurrection, that they thought Jesus is okay, one god, and his consort, another goddess, anastasis. And Paul made it very clear who Jesus is. We do not have all the details of the sermon, but he preached about the repentance, future resurrection, and judgment. Jesus is Savior and Judge, the one whom we remembered this morning. Let us continue to glorify his name. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Let us live in submission to him for his glory. And let us obey him and do our best for him and for his kingdom. And he is coming back soon to be the judge of the world and all who are in the tomb. Amazing statement. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And some will come forth to a resurrection of life. And others, they will be eternally condemned. And he is the one who will do it under his authority. What a great Savior, unique Savior. What a privilege in our life to know him and to love him and to have relationship with him as our Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the very precious day granted to us to remember the one who remembered us in our low estate and to glorify his name. We again thank you for the declaration of his glory and the proclamation of it from the word of God. What a great Savior. What a unique Savior. What an amazing, astounding, transcendent truth which we have discussed and which we have studied this morning. We are amazed at its profundity, its uniqueness, and its transcendence. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is not only the Savior, he is the Judge. We thank thee that we had the privilege in our life to know him as our Savior. If there is anyone listening to this message today who does not know the Lord Jesus as his or her personal Savior, or if there is anyone who thinks that they have believed, but that faith may not be genuine, we pray that thy Spirit may really convict them of their sin, that their faith, their commitment to thee may be active and dynamic and progressive and fruitful, that we may really comprehend the meaning of really what is the meaning of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together as the body of your people, and pray that these words we have heard today may give us assurance, comfort, hope, and consolation. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.